to speak about.
And
in a way, I'm going to leave you perhaps with more questions than when you left than when you came in.
Og på en måde, så kan det være, at jeg efterlader jer med mere flere spørgsmål, når I går ud herfra, end I havde, da I kom ind.
I'm doing it intentionally.
Og det gør jeg altså bevidst.
Because I believe that in the Christian life, we really need to think through why we do things.
Fordi jeg tror på, at i det kristne liv, bliver vi nødt til at tænke på, hvorfor vi gør de ting, vi gør.
You know, the root of the word repentance is a change of thinking, a change of mind.
Hovedet af ordet omvendelse betyder et skifte af dit sind.
And the mind is an important part of our worship to God. It's an important part about the way we live. And so I want to perhaps challenge our thinking in a number of areas. I want to start in the place where I think, at least as I've experienced it in Denmark, you're really quite good.
Og jeg vil gerne starte på et område, som i hvert fald efter mine erfaringer virker til et sted, hvor I Danmark gør det rimelig godt.
I'm going to start in the place of worship.
Jeg vil starte med lovsang.
But then I'm going to end in the place where I think the church is in a crisis.
Og så vil jeg slutte med det, så et område, hvor jeg tror, kirken er i krise.
And that has to do with the issue of leadership.
Og det har noget med lederskab.
I believe I can make these comments because I've lived here over 5 years. My main preoccupation during that time has been developing a leadership training program in a Bible college and working with students who come from Denmark.
Og mit hovedbeskæftigelse i de her 5 år har været at udvikle et ledertræningsprogram på bibelskolen og arbejde med de elever, der også kommer fra Danmark.
But not just Denmark.
Men ikke kun fra Danmark.
They come from all over Europe.
Kommer jo fra hele Europa.
So I think I have a perspective on this issue.
Så jeg tror, jeg har et perspektiv på det.
And what I want to do is present you with some challenges, some questions.
Og det jeg gerne vil gøre er at præsentere jer for nogle udfordringer, nogle spørgsmål.
But I want to root them in the Word of God.
Jeg vil gerne fundere dem i Guds ord.
I want to root them in the Scripture, which is God's eternal truth.
Jeg vil gerne fundere dem i Skriften, som er Guds evige sand.
And I think when things get rooted in the Bible.
Og jeg tror, at når tingene får rod og bliver funderet i Bibelen.
It gives us the kind of foundation that we need in order to build something that's long-lasting.
Så giver det os den slags fundament, vi har brug for at kunne bygge noget, som varer længe.
So let's start with the whole issue of worship, where I want to commend you.
Så lad os starte med hele spørgsmålet om lovsang, og her vil jeg gerne rose jer.
I'm not just talking about the church here in Aarhus.
Nu taler ikke specielt om kirken her i Aarhus.
I'm talking about the way I've experienced worship generally in Denmark.
Jeg taler om den måde, jeg generelt har erfaret lovsangen på her i Danmark.
You really know how to express your love for the Lord in worship.
I ved virkelig, hvordan I skal udtrykke jeres kærlighed til Herren i lovsang.
So I want to encourage you where you're good.
Så jeg vil gerne opmuntre jer, hvor I er gode.
Sometimes when people are good at something, we don't give them encouragement.
Nogle gange, når mennesker er gode til noget, så
let me tell you, I can go for nearly 3 months in Denmark without somebody telling me that was a really good message.
Jeg kan faktisk gå 3 måneder i Danmark her, uden at der er en, der kommer til mig og siger til mig, det var et virkelig godt budskab.
That might surprise you, but that's absolutely true.
Det er fuldstændig sandt.
I found one of the things that I've had to do since I've been in Denmark is tell people when something's good, say to somebody it's good, even if you know they know it's good.
Jeg har fundet ud af, en af de ting, jeg har måttet sige til mennesker i Danmark, det er, at hvis der er nogen, der har gjort noget godt, så gå hen og se det til dem, selv om de godt måske ved, at det er godt.
Last year we had a visiting speaker at the Bible College.
Sidste år havde vi en besøgende prædikant på
Bibelskolen. A very well-known guy.
En meget...
He works with Rick Joyner at Morningstar Ministries and out of America. Many people know this. Steve Thompson is his name. And he came to the Bible College, and after a week of teaching, he sat down with me and he said, "Boy, you've had a big impact here, haven't you?" And I said, "Have I?" He said, well, don't you know?
Og så sagde han, ved du det?
I said, nobody said anything to me. He said, they talk about you all the time.
Så de taler om dig hele tiden.
I said, they do? He said, everywhere I go, they say how fantastic your teaching is. I said, that's really nice to know. They're just trying to keep me humble, you see. And sometimes we have this concept, well, we'll tell other people how good it is, but we don't tell the person. So I want to tell you that as I've experienced worship here, on the whole, it's really good. And I want to encourage you to be better at what you're good at. Let's read a few scriptures. Send us Psalm 100. I like beginning with worship because worship puts God at the center of everything. Paul said in Philippians chapter 1 that for me to live is Mashiach. It's Christ. It's the anointed one. Yeah, he's the beginning, the middle, and the end. For us to live as believers, God has to be at the center if we're to really enjoy the Christian life. If God is not at the center, then discipleship and following Jesus becomes a huge burden. I have just come back with my wife from Monaco. My wife is the good-looking lady in the front row. I should say the good-looking one in the middle of the three good-looking lady. But we've just come back from Monaco. It was like visiting Sodom and Gomorrah. This is the most incredible principality in the south of France on the Riviera. And it's a place that's a tax haven. It's zero tax. In fact, we met a number of Danes who emigrated to Monaco. They made their money and now they're enjoying it in Monaco, where they don't have to pay any tax. It's a tax-free haven. But at the same time, many of these people don't have God in the center of their life. And I talked to a friend of mine there, who's been through a very difficult time, and the enemy has really drawn him into sin, and in a process of a number of meetings where I was speaking to him, he said, oh, it's so hard. It's so hard to be a Christian. And I said, well, the reason it's hard for you is because God is not at the center of your life. I said, it isn't hard for me. It's hard for you. Because when you feel God is asking you to do something, you see it as such a big sacrifice. It's such a big issue. Because God is not at the center. But when you have a vision of the greatness of God, and that's what worship helps to give us, when you see how great He is, you end up like David in Psalm 8. How excellent is your name in all the earth? And what is man that you are mindful of him? It kind of changes your perspective on life. And I want to encourage you that in worship, and I'm not just talking about the way we sing songs now, but the way we have God at the center of everything that we do, don't forget how great He is. Because God-centered worship sees that God is great and big enough for every circumstance and situation in life. You face challenges as an assembly because you lack a pastor. We'll get onto the leadership issue later. But let me tell you something you don't lack. You don't lack God's presence. You don't lack God's promises. You don't lack God's provision. You don't lack God's power. Do you notice that? Four P's for a good preacher there.
Der er fire P'er til en god prædikant og for
præst. For those of you who want to be good preachers.
For dem af jer, som gerne vil være god prædikant.
You don't lack those things.
De ting mangler ikke.
God is still with you.
Gud er stadig med jer.
And as long as you have a vision of how great he is, how big he is, you'll be able to move forward in that vision. David said this in Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. At all times. Do you know when he wrote that psalm? He wrote that psalm after he had run away from Saul, who tried to kill him on three occasions. He went down to Gath, where Goliath came from, and thought he would be safe amongst the Philistines. Duh! What was he thinking? That was a really stupid thing to do. And the king of Gath looked at David and said, hang on a minute, isn't this the man that they sang about? Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. And it says when David heard that, he began to be afraid. And he pretended to be mad in front of the king. He started to scratch the wall. And he let saliva run down his beard. And they looked at him and they said, this guy has lost it. And they threw him out of the presence of the king. And he went away to a cave called Adullam. And he sat down and he regained his perspective. And he must have thought to himself, what am I doing? He took out his little pen. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. And as he began to magnify God in his situation, he suddenly realized things are not so bad. God's with me. And he had lost everything at that time. He'd lost his job. He'd lost his income. He'd lost his best friends or access to them. He had to leave his wife. And instead of living in a house, he lived in a cave. And remember, he lived in the palace. Instead of eating at the king's table, he had to go out and kill a rabbit every day. Life changed dramatically. But he magnified God. He put God in the center. And because God was in the center, he was able to handle the circumstances of life. And I want to encourage you in your worship that you're not just singing songs. It is a way of encouraging your heart to continually put God in the center of all that you're doing and that you're involved with. I just love that last song that we sang. I don't know if you recognized it, but until then, it sounded like 50 people were singing. But at the end of that song, it sounded like 500 people were singing. To me, in my heart, it's like the angels joined in. Because there was a wonderful presence of God and an anointing when we hit that song. And I want to encourage you, put God in the center. Here's what it says in Psalm 44. Sorry, I'm going to get back to Psalm 100 in a minute, but let me give you a few here. Psalm 44 and verse 8. In God we boast all day long and praise your name forever.
Gud lovpriser vi dagen lang, dit navn takker vi til evig tid.
In God we boast all day long.
Vi roser os i Herren, står der på engelsk.
That is a God-centered individual.
Det er en Gud-centreret enkelt person.
He's not boasting in his achievement.
Han roser sig ikke af sine, det han har opnået.
He's not boasting in what is going on in his particular congregation. He's boasting in God. It is how great God is. This is the center. This is his focus. In Psalm 50, it says this, verse 1. The mighty one, God the Lord, spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun to its going down. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God will shine forth. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous all around him.
Herren Gud er Gud taler. Han kalder på jorden fra øst til vest. Fra Sions skønhedens krone træder Gud frem i stråleglans. Hvor Gud kommer, han siger ikke. Foran ham går en fortærende ind, omkring ham raser en vældig storm.
It's a wonderful picture of the greatness of God. You see, when David said earlier on, magnify the Lord with me. Have you ever looked through a magnifying glass? The idea of glasses is often to magnify. To make it bigger. When David says, magnify the Lord with me, he's not saying that God is small and we need to make him bigger. That's not what he's getting at. What he's talking about is a change in perception. Because often we go through life and our problems seem to be the big things that we're facing. And what David is saying is, as we magnify the Lord, as we speak about how great he is and what he's accomplished, something happens. He gets bigger in our eyes. It's not that he gets bigger ontologically. He can't get any bigger than he is. You understand me? But he gets bigger in our eyes. Because worship has a way of altering our perception. And here the psalmist declares who God is. He's the mighty one. And notice where he comes. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God will shine forth. Now Zion is that place, it's that mountain in Jerusalem. But it became synonymous with the place where God's people gather. Where God's people gather to worship him. And it's out of Zion that God wants to shine forth. And it is out of this place that God wants to shine forth. But God wants to shine forth for a people who are captivated by his beauty and his greatness. And I want to encourage you to keep doing that. Keep being captivated by the beauty of the Lord. David said to behold the beauty of the Lord. To somehow let him capture your heart. Once again, and keep that vision of his beauty alive. Worship helps us to do that. So here's my question to you. Do you put God in the center of your worship? Do you put him in the center of your life? Do you feel that when you worship him, it is wholehearted? In Psalm 9, it says this in verse 1. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I'd like to do something in many churches to help people in worship.
For at hjælpe mennesker i lovsang.
See, you have a video camera at the back, and it's on me.
Så I har en videokamera dernede, og den er på mig.
And so afterwards you can go and see it and replay it.
Bagefter så kan I gå ned og se det igen.
But I'd like to have a video camera back there on you.
Men jeg vil hellere have videokameraen hernede på jer.
And at the end of a worship service, I'd like you to look at you. I'd like you to see what God sees. You see, sometimes, even though you're good at worship, here's what I notice. I'm being a little naughty now. But if we could see what God sees, would we read that as wholehearted? I will worship you with my whole heart. You know, very early on in my Christian life, I disciplined myself. And I said to myself this, when I go into a place where God's people are gathered together, something different happens. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. Now I understand the theology that Jesus is with me wherever I go. But there is a manifest presence of Jesus where God's people gather together that is entirely different to that presence.
Men der er et manifesteret Jesu nærvær, der hvor Guds folk er forsamlet, som er helt anderledes.
And I disciplined myself years ago.
Jeg
said, when I come together with God's people, my focus will be on Jesus. I'm going to put my problems and my issues to one side, and I'm going to focus in worship, and at the end of worship, when I have given God what He deserves, then I'll look again at my problem and see how it looks at the end of that period. I don't sit there saying, well, here's how I don't feel like worship.
You know,
and I'm trying to touch the bottoms of my legs through my pockets. No. I put that aside for a moment. It's not that it isn't real in my life. It's a discipline. I'm coming before the king. Now, like you, we have an aristocracy. You have a monarch. Your monarch is a little more informal than our monarch. You know, if you go shopping in Copenhagen, you might bump into the queen. That's very, very unlikely to happen in England. But nevertheless, when people go into the presence of the queen, there are a group of courtiers who tell them what to do. They tell the ladies how to curtsy, they tell the men how to bow, and they tell them how to address her. But we're coming into the presence of the King of Kings. And I think we need to remind ourselves that God deserves our best. Our best in worship. So what you do well, do better. You get me? Let me encourage those of you involved in worship. I said this again, I'm saying nothing that I haven't believed in and practiced in building churches over the 20 years I've been involved in. If you feel God has given you a heart to be a worship leader or to be responsible in leading worship, at least 1 hour a day in worship.
Så brug mindst en time om dagen for lovsang.
Minimum. 1 hour.
En time.
Turn off the TV.
Sluk for fjernsyn.
Readjust your schedule.
Lav om på dit program.
Find an hour.
Find en time.
In worship.
I lovsang.
Maybe you'll be singing the worship songs, maybe you'll be listening to worship.
Måske synger du selv, måske lytter du til.
But cultivate worship in you.
Lovsang.
Because you cannot lead people in something you're not experiencing yourself. Now sometimes people say to me, but you don't know my schedule. Yes, I do. Because I've got 6 kids. And I know what a very heavy schedule is like. I know how difficult it is to grab time here and grab time there. But it's possible. And let me encourage you to do that. And you will be amazed how it will transform your confidence. Because if you're a worship leader, you've got to learn how to live in God's presence so that you can recognize when to bring people into that presence. Here's another question. Let's go to Psalm 100 now. Oh Lord, help me get through this. This is a little longer than I wanted to, but Psalm 100. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God, it is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Notice how this worship psalm is once again putting things in perspective. There is no such thing in the kingdom of God as a self-made man. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. That's not just talking about creation. Any success you have, that's God-given. Any achievement you have, it's God-given. We're the sheep of His pasture. He leads us into that success. And then He says this. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. Now, ask yourself this question. Does my worship express my joy and gladness in serving the Lord?
Udtrykker min lovsang min glæde og taknemmelighed over at tjene Ham?
You're supposed to be joyful and glad to serve the Lord.
Vi skulle være glade og fulde af jubel over at tjene Ham.
There is joy in serving the Lord.
Der er glæde i at tjene Ham.
Joy is one of the most fundamental things that God wants us to have. Happiness.
Glæde er en af de fundamentale ting, Gud ønsker, vi skal have.
Do you know the very first thing that God did to Adam and Eve?
Det første Gud han gjorde for Adam og Eva.
After He made them.
Efter han skabte dem.
He blessed them.
Så velsignede
han. He blessed them.
Han velsignede.
Be happy.
Vær glad.
The very first thing Jesus begins to teach on the Mount of Olives in Matthew 5. They're called the Beatitudes. Blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. But Lord, they're hungry, they're thirsty. They say blessed and happy. Lord, they're mourning. You're pronouncing blessing and happiness? That's right. Because that's the kingdom of God. God wants to bring blessing. In Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly or sits in the seat of the scornful or stands in the way of sinners. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law he meditates day and night. Do you come with a sense of joy and gladness? You should. You should. It's possible. The joy of the Lord is your strength in Nehemiah 8:11. So let God's joy fill you. Jesus said that He had spoken words to His disciples in John 16 that their joy might be full. Okay, I've said enough on this issue. I'm going to move on to another issue now. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to talk about the issue of giving. Now this is an area that I believe the Danish church really needs to grow in.
Og det her, det er et område, som jeg tror på, at den danske kirke virkelig har brug for at vokse.
Now, like you,
som jer,
I pay tax.
Betaler jeg skat.
Yeah. I get paid in Danish kroner, I pay Danish kroner taxes.
Betaling i danske kroner, skal betale danske kroner.
I'm in exactly the same boat you're in.
Jeg er fuldstændig i samme båd som I.
You know, I'm not just a visitor here.
Jeg er ikke bare besøgende her.
I'm here with my whole family, all six children. Okay, so we know the challenges of living under this kind of particular government and taxation.
Vi kender godt udfordringen ved at leve under den her form for regering og det her skattesystem.
Now, I began with worship because if you don't have a picture of how big God is,
og jeg begyndte med tilbedelse, fordi hvis ikke du har et billede af, hvor stor Gud er,
when it comes to the issue of finance,
så når det kommer til hele økonomiområdet,
the Danish government are going to appear a lot bigger.
Så virker det danske regeringssystem meget større.
You see, God is a generous God.
Gud er en gavmild Gud.
He's a God of abundance.
Han er en overflødens Gud.
Everything he does,
alt hvad han gør,
he does generously and abundantly.
Gør han gavmild og i overflød.
When we touch the nature of God,
og når vi berører Guds natur,
we touch His generosity.
Så berører vi hans generositet, hans gavmildhed.
God so loved the world that He gave.
Så meget elskede Gud verden, at han gav.
So to touch the heart of God,
så at berøre Guds hjerte,
is to touch the generosity of God.
At berøre Guds gavmildhed.
And it's impossible to touch Him and not be touched ourselves.
Og det er umuligt at røre ham uden selv at blive berørt.
And become generous people.
Og selv blive gavmild.
This is why I put worship first.
Now
in Proverbs chapter 3, it says this in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. The psalmist is saying that God is much happier where there is a relationship between Him and an individual based on that person's confidence in who he is rather than that person's ability to work things out rationally all the time. God gave Abraham a test, a very difficult test. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, and offer him up as a burnt offering. And I used to read that passage in Genesis 22 and I thought, how could this man do that? And the answer is given in two places in the New Testament. The first is in Hebrews chapter 11. And it says this about Abraham. It says that Abraham believed in his heart that God would raise Isaac from the dead. That's what it says. It's absolutely astonishing. He's got no Bible. He's got no cross to look to. But he has a relationship with the living God who's promised to bless him. Who's promised that through him all the nations of the earth would be blessed. He tried to do it through Ishmael, and God said, it's not Ishmael, it's Isaac. Through Isaac I'm going to bless the world. And now God says, kill Isaac. And Abraham must have thought in his heart, well, if he kills Isaac, I know it's not Ishmael. God's been absolutely insistent on this for the last 16 years. That's how long it was. He's been so insistent on this. The only way I can see him being true to his word is if he raises him from the dead. And he puts Isaac on an altar, and he lifts up a knife, and he's about to kill him, and the angel of the Lord says, Abraham, Abraham, now I know you've not withheld your son, your only begotten son. It uses that phrase, the same as John chapter
3.
And in John chapter 8, Jesus says about Abraham,
siger Jesus om Abraham.
He rejoiced to see my day.
Han frydede sig over at se min dag.
And he saw it.
Og han så.
He saw it.
Han så det.
He lifted that knife.
Han løftede den her kniv.
And in that moment.
Og i det øjeblik.
He looked down through history.
Så så han ned igen.
Prophetically.
Profetisk.
And he saw a father.
Og han så en far.
Who so loved the nations of the world.
Som så meget elskede.
That he didn't withhold his only begotten son.
At han ikke holdt sin eneste.
But freely delivered him up for us all.
Han gav ham. Han gav til os.
Abraham understood the generosity of God.
Og Abraham forstod Guds godhed.
And his great love for the world.
Og hans store kærlighed til verden.
He touched his heart.
Han berørte hans hjerte.
We have no less an authority than Jesus' words in John 8.
Og vi har ingen mindre autoritet her end Jesu ord.
He trusted in God with all of his heart.
Han stolede på Gud af hele sit.
And he didn't lean on his own understanding.
Han spørgede sig ikke til sin egen forstand og indsigt.
But he trusted God. This is the foundation of giving. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It'll be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Now verse 9. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Now when we do that, here's God's promise. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Would you like your barns filled with plenty and your vats overflowing with new wine? We could all do with a little new wine. Honor the Lord with your possessions. Our trust in God doesn't become more practical than when we have to give. I have found that when God wants to test my trust in Him, it usually has a financial element to it. Either because I have to move country, or I have to move house, or change job, or just give. It tests my trust in God. And the Bible tells us here in Proverbs that we're not to lean on our own understanding. So if God is first, and God is great, then He demands the first fruits. Now in the Old Testament, when they were planning for a harvest, there was always a part of the field that got more water and more sunlight, and therefore it ripened more quickly than the rest of the field. And that was called the first fruits. And in the Old Testament, God said, present that to me. And under the law, He legislated 10% to come to me. That was called the tithe. Now in the New Testament, you don't find the apostles commanding a tithe in the New Testament. But you do find this. In Hebrews chapter 7, it's speaking about how Abraham met Melchizedek. And Levi, the tribe of Levi, who administrated the tithes and the offerings. Levi is a descendant of Abraham. And in the context of Hebrews 7, he's showing how the priesthood of Melchizedek is superior to the priesthood of Aaron. He is a priest forever and ever in Psalm 110. But in the book of Genesis, Abraham meets Melchizedek, who's a type of Jesus in the New Testament. without beginning of days or end of days. No father and mother, no beginning, no end. He's a type of Jesus in the New Testament. And Abraham gives 10% of all the spoils to Melchizedek, and he gets blessed. That happens 400 years before the law. So that the principle of giving 10% predates the law. The father of our faith, Abraham, did it to Jesus. You get this? It's really important. Now, you can lean on your own understanding and say, but you don't know how much I earn. But you don't know this. But you don't know that. Well, you know, when we came to Denmark, we had to make a decision. Most people in Denmark, I've discovered, the husband and the wife both work. There's a reason for that. Because two incomes enable you to survive here. But we don't do that. We just have one salary from the Bible College. And it was very challenging. The first 3 years were very challenging. And if I had worked it out on paper, I could have said, this does not work. It does not work. That's leaning on my own understanding. But we had to talk together and say, is God in this? Are we going to walk in obedience? And here's the challenge with giving. Will your obedience rise above your fear? Will your obedience rise above your own understanding of how to work out? Will your obedience rise above your unbelief? You get this? I can tell you, God has blessed us in different ways. But we're not in debt to anybody. God has blessed us. He's been true to His word. Have we had periods where it's been lean? Yes. Have we had periods where we experienced pressure? Absolutely. But has God been faithful? Totally. Some people say to me, well, should the 10% come before tax or after tax? There's a reason it's called first fruits. Not second fruits. First fruits. Because God gets it before the Danish government gets it. Get this? 10% off the top. Now wrestle with that. I know that's not easy. I know that that's not... Let me make it even more challenging for you. We'll see if you invite me back again after this one. I believe that the 10% is the floor. It's where you start. It's not the ceiling. When I was in Monaco, I spent 2 hours with a godly pastor in Monaco. He has about 80 people in his church. Some of them are millionaires. Not one of them tithes. Not one. I said it's an abomination. It is the spirit of greed that has gripped these men. And I got hold of one of them. And I said, he wanted me to pray for deliverance for him. Because he's committed adultery and he's done this and he's done that. And I said to him, you want deliverance?
Og jeg sagde til ham, du vil have udfrielse.
You walk in obedience.
Så skal du vandre i lydighed.
I said, if I pray for you,
hvis jeg beder for dig,
and you don't get your life in order,
og du ikke får dit liv på plads,
you'll end up 7 times worse.
Så ender du op 7 gange værre.
I said, kicking a demon out is easy.
At sparke en dæmon ud er let nok.
Walking in obedience takes faith.
Men at vandre i lydighed, det kræver
tro. I said, here's what you can start to do.
Og her er hvad du kan begynde med.
You can ring your pastor and tell him you're going to give 10% of your income.
Ring til din præst og sige, du vil begynde at give
10% af din indkomst. Here's one tithe would pay his salary for a year.
Hans ene tine vil betale hans løn.
See, I'm not impressed with a millionaire who gives 10%. I'm sorry.
Jeg er ikke imponeret af en millionær, som giver 10%.
I'm not impressed.
Det imponerer mig.
Do you think God's impressed?
Tror du, Gud er imponeret over det?
I've met pastors who say, oh, he's a, such a generous giver. Very rich man, you see. But when I get time to spend time with millionaires, I say you should be aiming at least 50% in your giving.
Men når jeg bruger tid sammen med sådan en millionær, så siger jeg til dem, du skal give efter mindst at give 50%.
Where is that in the Bible?
Hvor står det i Bibelen?
Let me show you where it is in the Bible.
Lad mig vise jer, hvor det
står. Turn to Matthew chapter 6.
Matthæus kapitel 6.
Oh, I hope you do invite me back.
Håber jeg bliver inviteret tilbage.
I've got more to say.
Ja, der er mere at sige.
Matthew 6:19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
Som jeg ikke skatter på jorden, hvor møller rust og tær, hvor tyve bryder ind og stjæler, men som jeg skatter i himlen, hvor hverken møller og rust og tær, hvor tyve ikke bryder ind og stjæler. Hvor din skat er, der vil også dit hjerte være.
Here's some questions for you.
Der er nogle spørgsmål til jer.
Does your giving express what you value?
Udtrykker din måde at give på, hvad det er, du sætter pris på?
I have noticed in Denmark,
jeg har lagt mærke til i Danmark,
you spend much more money on buildings and homes and making them look nice than you do investing in the kingdom.
At I bruger meget mere tid på bygninger, på jeres hjem og på at få dem til at se pæne ud, end I gør på at
and you value your house more than you do God's house.
Og I sætter mere pris på jeres hus end på Guds hus.
And the kingdom of God.
Og på Guds rige.
Now, hear me here.
Og hør mig nu her.
Don't get mad at me. You're looking at a guy who has sold his house and given all the money to the church and then have to start all over again. So I've walked this. Okay? I've walked this. I've been there, done it, I've got the
t-shirt.
And I think I'm prepared to do it again. Because I want the kingdom of God to be so real in my life. Now, there's nothing wrong with houses and lands. There's nothing wrong with that, folks. But you won't take it with you. Hello?
Hello.
You won't take it with you. We're not Egyptians, you know. Where does your giving express what you value? Does it express kingdom priorities? When you start at 10%, you're starting to establish a kingdom priority. I couldn't. When I first came to Denmark, they said to me at the Bible College, "Well, you can give 10% if you like."
Da jeg først kom til Danmark, så sagde de på Bibelskolen, "Du kan give 10% hvis du vil."
I said, if I like.
Hvis jeg vil, så er
det. I said, yeah.
Yes,
yeah, I do like. I like to walk in obedience.
Det vil jeg gerne. Jeg vil gerne vandre i lydighed.
Take it out automatically.
Tag det automatisk.
And then once you do that, you can then give free will offerings. You see, it doesn't end there. As God prospers you, you give more. And I challenged this businessman in Monaco. And he said, I've never done that. Start now. And we're sitting in the most fantastic office. He had a lampstand worth 20,000 kroner. A lampstand.
Og vi sidder så i det mest fantastiske kontor. Han havde et lampe, som kostede 20,000 kroner.
He said, you think that's expensive? That one's 100,000 kroner. We were just in this office.
Og det var bare et kontor,
I said, you just want some light, don't you?
Det skal ikke bare have lys, sagde jeg.
And I just challenged him.
I overthought.
And people wonder why their lives are not in order.
Og folk de undrer sig over, hvorfor deres liv ikke er i orden.
Because you have to establish kingdom priorities in your life.
Du skal sætte nogle gudsdags.
And that's what Jesus is talking about here.
Og det er det, Jesus taler om her.
And in the context, he's saying, look, your father knows you need these things.
Og i sammenhæng, så siger han, hør her, jeres far ved godt, I har brug for de her ting.
Are you like the Gentiles here?
Er I som hedningerne her?
What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? If those questions preoccupy you, you're living like an unbeliever. Your question should be these. How does God want to touch this community? How does God want to use me to minister in this assembly and equip people to touch this area? They're the kinds of questions we need to be preoccupied with. Not how are we going to pay the bill? So if we walk in obedience, God promises to take care of those things. Oh my. Let's look on. Notice this. Verse 30. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?
Klæder Gud således markens græs, som står i dag, og i morgen kastes i ovnen? Hvor meget snarere så ikke jer i videtroen?
Giving ultimately expresses the measure of your faith.
Det at give udtrykker i sidste ende for stor en tro.
Let's not boast.
Lad os ikke rose
that we're somewhere that we're not.
Over at vi er et sted, hvor vi ikke er.
But let's pray and ask God to take us where we need to be.
Men lad os bede og bede Gud om
and give us the courage to take steps of obedience in order to get
there.
You see, Jesus is trying to show us how much the Father loves us and cares for us. So the priority is this. Seek the kingdom first. Seek it first. Not second. First.
First.
That's the word of God to you. And then all these things will be added. God doesn't hold them back. He's a generous God. He gives generously. How are we doing for time? Oh, hallelujah. We can do a little more. God is good, isn't he? Let's move on to the issue of leadership. I want you to turn to 1 Timothy. Well, perhaps I should just say one more thing about giving. First Timothy chapter 6.
1 Timothy 6.
And in verse 6. Now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content.
Og vist er det, at Guds frygtsomme nøjsomhed bærer lønnen i sig selv. For tomhændet kom vi til verden, og tomhændet skal vi gå ud af den. Har vi føde og klæder, skal vi lade os nøje med det.
It's interesting that the Greek word there for clothing could be translated like a tent. A covering.
Det der ord for klæder, det kan også oversættes med telt eller med dække.
So God wants us to have food and shelter.
Så Gud ønsker, at vi skal have mad og have husly.
Everything else is an additional bonus.
Alt andet er bonus.
It's a bonus.
Det er bonus.
Hold on to what God gives you lightly.
Hold fast i det, Gud giver dig med let hånd.
Because you are a steward of everything.
Fordi du er husholder over det hele.
It's a stewardship that you'll give an account for.
Det er en husholdergerning, som du skal aflægge.
And then when God says to you, pass that on to someone else.
Og når Gud så siger, giv det nu videre til nogen andre.
You can do it.
Så kan du gøre det.
And do it with joy.
Og gør det med glæde.
And then here's the bit. in verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life.
Vers 17. Dem, der er rige i den nuværende verden, skal du byde, at de ikke må være overmodige og ikke sætte deres håb til usikker rigdom, men til Gud, som rigeligt skænker os alt, hvad vi behøver. Vi skal byde dem at gøre godt og være rige på gode gerninger, og være gavmilde og dele med andre, og samle sig i skat, som er en god grundvold for den kommende tid, så de kan gribe det virkelige liv.
Paul says to Timothy,
Paul siger til Timothy,
command those who are rich.
Befale dem, der er rige.
It's a pastoral responsibility,
så det er et pastoralt ansvar,
to find out who are the people in the congregation who have the most money.
At finde ud af, hvem er det i forsamlingen, som har flest penge.
This is touching on a leadership issue now.
Så nu er vi over i lederskabsdelen her.
And I find that one of the big problems in leadership is that we're scared to challenge people.
Jeg har fundet, et af de største problemer i lederskab er, at vi er bange for at udfordre mennesker.
But you see, if God has dealt with your own heart,
hvis Gud har gjort noget af dit eget hjerte,
so that you're not doing it because you want the money,
så du ikke gør det, fordi du har brug for penge,
but you want the money for the kingdom,
fordi du har brug for penge til Guds
rige. Often when I am challenging rich people,
often når jeg udfordrer folk som er
rige, I do it in churches I'm not a part of, so I don't get the benefit.
Så gør jeg det i menigheder, hvor jeg ikke er en del af, så det ikke er mig, der høster nogen frugt af det.
Now it's harder when you're pastoring somebody who's rich.
Det er sværere, hvis du er leder for nogen, som er rig.
But I usually say this.
Men jeg plejer at sige det.
Well, look, the first 10% belongs here anyway.
De første 10% hører alligevel til her.
But give the other 10% over there.
Og så giver de andre 10%.
And give another 10% over there.
Og de andre 10% derovre.
You're looking at me like I don't believe this.
Nu ser jeg på mig og siger, det her, jeg tror ikke mine egne ører.
See, Paul says, having food and clothing, let's learn to be content.
Paul siger, hvis vi har føde og klæder, så lad os lære at nøjes med det.
Can you believe that in one of the richest principalities in the world, people are not giving?
Kan du tro, at i et af de rigeste riger i verden, der giver lidt?
This pastor is supported by a mission board.
Den her pastor, han bliver støttet af en missionsorganisation.
It's not his congregation supporting
him. Det er ikke hans forsamling, der støtter ham.
Something's wrong. Don't you get it?
And that's fuldstændig galt.
And the people will come up for prayer. Oh, bless me.
Oh,
pray for me. Oh, help me in my marriage.
Oh, hjælp mig i mit ægteskab.
I'd like to go in there with a big stick.
Og lad os gå ind med en stor kæmpe.
And do what I did with my 6 children.
Okay, man, you got 6 pounds.
Bend over, I'm going to teach you a lesson.
Spider, let's get out of.
Because sometimes people just don't get it.
But you know, that's a fair fault, right?
Now that's harder to do
flere,
when you're a leader in a local church.
But
Paul said to Timothy, command them.
Timothy,
he didn't say ask them nicely.
Said, you skal bede dem pænt op.
He didn't say appeal to their better
siger,
side. He says command.
Siger,
it's a very strong word in the Greek. The other thing that I've discovered as I visited Monaco is with wealth comes arrogance. With wealth comes arrogance. Many of these rich businessmen and their believers, they think it's by their own strength and ability that they've got rich. And I remind them. Was God's blessing.
Det var Guds velsignelse.
That's the stewardship.
Det er husholder.
And you're accountable for it.
Du står til regnskab.
You will stand before God.
Så du kommer til at stå for
and give an account.
Og aflægge regnskab.
Where and when you were not generous.
Hvor og hvornår du ikke var gavmild.
Did you just spend it on yourself?
Brugte du det på dig selv?
Or were you rich towards God?
Eller var du rig.
That's what it says here.
Det er det, der står her.
Not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God.
Ikke at sætte håb til usikker rigdom, men til Gud.
Now what God gives us,
det Gud han giver os,
he gives us richly to enjoy.
Det giver han os rigeligt, så vi kan nyde det.
You shouldn't feel guilty for having good things.
Fordi du har nogle gode ting.
But you should feel responsible to make sure that you share the blessing as much as you can. And that you put the local church and what God is doing there as an expression of your first priority. It's how you put God first. Understand this. Now, when it comes to leadership, the Bible says that the only way to lead ultimately is by example. Now you're a church in transition. But let me say something. Even though you don't have a full-time pastor, you have leaders. You have leaders. You're not leading by default. It's not an accident. It's God's purpose. And it's an opportunity to rise to a new level now. You see, I notice that some leaders, they look at the challenges and they say, that's too big for me. And there are other leaders who say, I see those challenges. They're too big for me now. Lord, help me grow to meet the challenge. You understand what I'm saying? In Matthew 28, Jesus is about to leave and go to heaven. And all his disciples gather. And it says they worshipped him, but some doubted. Isn't that interesting? They worshipped him, but some doubted. And you know what I find so amazing? Is that Jesus still commissioned them. They had doubts. They had fears. But he still said, you're my choice. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that gracious? I think you need to remind yourselves here. You may have doubts, you may have fears. God still chosen you. This is the situation. Pray that God enables you to grow, to embrace the challenge that seems so big. In chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, it says this, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word and in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity.
I vers 12 er ingen ringeagte dig, fordi du er ung, men vær et forbillede for de troende i tale, i adfør, i kærlighed, i troskab, i renhed.
The only way to lead
is
by example. A number of years ago, when Jackie and I first went into pastoral leadership,
for nogle år siden, da Jackie og jeg først gik ind i sådan et pastoralt lederskab,
we took over what was essentially an evangelical church.
Så overtog vi, hvad grundlæggende var en evangelikal menighed.
And within a process of 12 months, we took it through charismatic renewal.
Og over sådan en proces på 12 måneder, så kom vi igennem en karismatisk fornyelse.
And I remember sitting down with all the leaders.
Og jeg husker, at jeg sad med alle lederne.
And I said, brothers.
Og jeg sagde, brødre.
We all of us need to be moving in the gifts of the Spirit.
Vi har alle sammen brug for, at vi bevæger os i Åndens gave.
I want to challenge myself.
Jeg vil gerne udfordre mig selv.
I want to challenge you.
Jeg vil gerne udfordre jer.
We all need to be giving to the Lord.
Vi har alle sammen brug for at give til Herren.
And I had a list of 5 things.
Jeg havde en liste på 5 ting.
And I said, within 12 months, we have to be doing all these things.
I løbet af de næste 12 måneder, vi nødt til at gøre de her ting.
One of them was tithing.
En af dem var tiende.
One of them was filled with the Spirit.
En af dem var at være fyldt med Ånden.
Speaking in tongues. Another was being able to pray for people, pray for the sick. And over the next 12 months, we studied the scripture, we talked together, we prayed together, and the whole leadership came through in 12 months. The entire leadership. We read books together, we embraced the truth together, and once we got the leadership through, it was easy to get the church through. Because we had examples. They were walking it.
De gik det selv.
They were living it.
De levede det selv.
And there's a crisis in Denmark.
Og der er en krise i Danmark.
Because you need leaders.
Fordi I har brug for ledere.
And you have a generation rising up.
Og I har en generation som vokser op.
Who are really not sure they want to be leaders.
Som ikke er sikre på, at de ønsker at være ledere.
They've looked at the kind of thing that's gone on in church.
De ser på nogle af de ting, som har.
And they said to themselves, I'm not sure I want that.
Og sagt til sig selv, jeg er ikke sikker på, at det er det, jeg ønsker.
And so one of the things that we have to do is to make room for a different kind of leadership. A different style of leadership. Like David, we have to be careful not to pass on Saul's armor to the next generation. Saul's armor is good for Saul. But there's another generation that are doing things differently. And I believe that good leadership makes room for people to do things differently. And I believe that that is an expression of faith. But leaders have to be the first to step out in doing things. I was encouraging our church at one time to be free in worship. So I was encouraging people to dance. We had a little group at the back who used to do the hippity hop. But I would encourage them. And then one day a friend said to me, he said, Peter, people don't do what you say, they do what you do. If you want them to dance, get hopping. And I hated him. I hated him for saying that. I hated it because it was true. Have you ever found that? You know, the truth comes and you just something and you said, I hate that, but I know it's true. I remember being in the worship meeting saying, Lord, do I have to? It was kind of like this internal struggle. And the Lord said, well, you're the leader. Lead. So I remember sort of, you know, the sort of shuffling from one leg to the other hop. And I remember there were a whole group of people in the church looking at me. And I became so self-conscious I shut my eyes. And when I shut my eyes, I got more free. You know, and I was just, you know, we were worshipping and I was praising the Lord. And I didn't dare open my eyes. And in my heart I'm saying, Lord, I'm doing this for you. And I'm doing it for the people. And then after a minute, I opened my eyes, and half the congregation was hopping and bopping. And when I talked to people afterwards, they said, you know, we've wanted to do that, but we wanted to see you do it first. Leadership's like that. Often people are longing to do something, but they want to see the leadership do it first. So if you want people to pray, you pray. You want them to give, you give. You want them to be here on time, you be here on time. You want them to raise their hands, shut your eyes and behold the beauty of the Lord. You understand? Leadership will always seek to empower people rather than be threatened by people. I'm concerned that we don't commit the sin of Saul. You know, one of Saul's sins was that when God sent him David, instead of seeing him as a blessing, he saw him as a threat and tried to kill him. If God puts you in a place of leadership and you see somebody more talented and more gifted, don't put them down. Make room for them to succeed. And you know, when they go on to success, they'll talk about you. They'll talk about the impact you had in their life. They'll talk about the room you gave them. If we don't do that,
hvis ikke vi gør det,
and we operate out of insecurity and fear,
opererer vi ud af usikkerhed og frygt,
we'll destroy people's potential.
Så ødelægger vi menneskers potentiale.
We'll destroy destinies.
Ødelægger deres bestemmelse.
That God has ordained.
Som Gud har givet.
I need to be careful about this story because I don't want you to guess who this is. But I was speaking to one worship leader in Denmark. And this person said this to me. I led worship for 3 years in the church. And the leaders at no time gave me feedback on my worship. Now I was so shocked when they said this to me. Because I visited that church and I've seen the leadership. But I went back to them a day later. I said, look, I can't quite handle this. I need to have a little more information. What do you mean that they didn't give you any
feedback?
And here's what they said.
They
said, well, I got a slap on the back. I got a, that was great today. But no one sat down with me and said, those choice of songs, or the way they fit together was good.
Or
when you do this, you really should avoid that. There was no mentoring. There was no development. And that was sad to me. Because this person is an extremely gifted worshiper. And I feel like the church has actually lost an opportunity. In leadership, give people not just encouragement, but help them see perhaps where it could be better. Help them see where perhaps they could learn more. I have a very close relationship with Ole Dreyer Jensen. He's our worship leader in Kolding. We just had a wonderful theme week where he led worship. And he did a fantastic set of songs. And then we sang one song where we just lost it completely. And I thought, shall I give him feedback on this? I know he won't mind me sharing this with you. And I went to see him yesterday. I said, Ola, do you remember Thursday morning when you led worship?
He
said, you did a great set of songs. And then you did another song. And he named the song. He said, yeah, it wasn't right, was it? I said, you recognized it. He said, immediately. And you see, now that I said it, he knows that God is showing him something. But all he had was himself and what he thought. But now he's had a little bit of feedback. And leadership should do this. With leadership, we should help people find the best way. Look, this is really good. I was a swimming teacher for 3 years. I trained kids from 4 years of age up to, it seemed like, 400 years of age, but very old people. The whole range. When you teach someone to swim, you have to work on one aspect at a time. It's either the position of the head, the position of the body, the way the legs are working, or the way the arms are working, or the breathing. You can't do it all at the same time. So when I work with an individual, they do the swim, I say, that's great, now we're going to work on improving this one area. And in leadership, we've got to learn to be involved with people. It's not about, this is your ministry. No, get on with it. People feel abandoned if you do that. At the same time, if you're so on top of them, they feel like you don't trust them. So you have to engage them in a way that they feel cared for and developed without being constricted. I used to meet with our worship leader once a week for breakfast. He had a full-time job. job.
Han havde fuldtidsarbejde.
I was a full-time pastor.
Jeg var fuldtidspastor.
I said, you say when you want to meet.
Så sagde jeg, sig hvornår vi kan mødes.
We met for breakfast.
Så vi mødtes i morgen.
We talked about the Sunday.
Vi talte om søndag.
We talked about where the strengths were.
Talte om hvad vores styrker.
Where the weaknesses were.
Vores svagheder.
What our sense of it was.
Hvad var vores fornemmelse af det.
And he grew.
Og han voksede.
He grew as a worshipper.
And
I developed that habit.
Og jeg udviklede den der vane.
We raised up 5 worship leaders.
Vi oprejste 5 lovsangere.
Just because I got involved. Now,
fordi jeg involverede.
My wife will tell you.
Og min kone vil sige.
When I sing in our house,
når jeg synger
derhjemme, our kids beg me to stop.
Så tigger mine børn om at holde op igen.
It is not a blessing.
Det er ikke en velsignelse.
It's a blessing to me.
Mig,
and it's a blessing to the Lord.
Og det er en velsignelse for
but it's not a big blessing to my family.
Det er ikke en stor velsignelse for min familie.
So in that sense, I'm not a worship leader. But I understand something about worship. Because I've spent time in the Word. And I know when worship leaders are touching something. And when they're missing something. And this operates across the board. This operates in almost all departments. You have a good group of people here. Who've had experience in different areas. Play to one another's strengths.
Spil op til hinandens styrker.
And let me say to some of you younger folk.
Og lad mig sige til nogle af jer yngre.
And by younger I mean anyone who's under my age.
Som er yngre mener jeg hver som er under min alder.
If you're 35 and down.
Hvis du er 35 og under.
Where does that put you? Okay, 40.
Okay, 40 or under.
I'm actually getting closer to 50 now. But the point is this. What is the point? here it is. I've got it. The younger generation today, the 20-something generation, are afraid to make commitments. It's one of the reasons that the average age for getting married now is nearer 28.
Det er en af årsagen til, at gennemsnitsalderen for, hvornår man bliver gift i dag, er nærmere 28.
People are afraid of making commitments.
Folk er bange for at forpligte sig.
Especially if they've come from broken homes, where commitments were not kept.
Hvis de er kommet fra brudte hjem, hvor forpligtelsen ikke bliver overholdt.
But let me say to some of the younger folk here.
Men lad mig sige til nogle af jer yngre her.
Don't be afraid to embrace leadership.
Vær ikke bange for at tage imod lederskab.
Don't be afraid to do that.
Vær ikke bange for det.
Paul said to Timothy, let no one despise your youth.
Paulus siger til Timotheus, lad ingen ringeagte din ungdom.
He saw his potential in Acts 16, and he took him to be with him. And if some of the older folk here put their hands on your shoulder, say, you know, I really think you should consider getting involved in this ministry. Really take that seriously. Take it as if it comes from the Lord. Don't just dismiss it. Pray. Hold it before God. And be willing to embrace it. Don't let the fact that you perhaps are not big enough for the challenge yet. Because it's only as you embrace something bigger than you that you grow. You see, if the only thing you ever do in life is embrace things that you can handle. You'll never grow. You have to embrace something bigger than you are. That makes you dependent on God. That makes you look to God. And as you do that, faith grows. It's a stretching experience. But we need to raise up a new generation of leaders who believe that it can be better and who believe that it can be different. That's one of the things I'm pouring my life into. I believe in the next generation. I'm just trying to persuade them to believe in themselves. That God is big enough. That God is able. So let me ask you this. Are you serving in leadership?
Tjener du i lederskab?
For yourself?
For dig selv?
Or for the glory of God?
Eller for Guds æreskab?
Is it for what you get out of it?
Er det for det, du får ud af det?
Or for what God is going to get out of it?
Eller for hvad Gud vil få ud af det?
And is your leadership something that you're constantly trying to give away? You understand what I mean by that? Share.
Dele.
Empower.
Bemyndige.
Encourage others.
Opmuntre.
To rise up.
Til at rejse sig.
And don't be afraid.
Og vær ikke bange.
To take new challenges.
For at påtage nye udfordringer.
That force you to go to God.
Som tvinger dig til at gå til Gud.
You will grow.
Du vil vokse.
And the church will grow.
Og kirken vil vokse.
And God's kingdom will be seen.
Og Guds rige vil blive synligt.
I wonder if you would stand with me.
Could we still walk some?
I've given you quite a few challenges today. And I said to you I was going to leave you with lots of questions to ponder over. I believe that whenever God challenges us, there is a grace that comes from Him. And so I don't just want to leave you with a challenge. I want to pray to the God of heaven to give you grace to embrace this. So I wonder if you would mind just holding hands. Because in the Bible, it says that if we agree on something, and when we hold hands, we're expressing unity and agreement together. And I'll do the praying, but I want you to do the receiving. Okay.
Okay.
So Father in heaven, we declare that you are great.
Vi erklærer, du er stor.
And greatly to be praised.
Og du er stor til at blive prist.
O Lord,
Herre,
open our eyes.
Åbne vores øjne.
To get a clearer vision of Jesus.
Så vi kan få et klarere syn af Jesus.
Let it be like on the Mount of Transfiguration.
Må det være som på forklarelsens bjerg.
Where he, in all his glory, shines forth.
Hvor han i al sin herlighed stråler.
And we see no man except Jesus only.
Og vi ser intet menneske.
And I want to pray for this assembly, Lord.
Jeg vil bede for den her menighed.
I thank you that your hand is on this company of people.
Tak fordi din hånd er over den her gruppe mennesker.
I thank you that your desire is to bless them.
Tak fordi din længsel er at velsigne dem.
Your desire is to see them grow together.
At din længsel er at se dem vokse sammen.
Your desire is that they move to new levels of challenge
and faith.
And Spirit of God, we cannot do it without you. So we claim your promise. Faithful is he who calls you, who also will do it. But God is in us, empowering us to will and to do of his good pleasure. Lord, we claim these empowering promises. And we come to the throne of grace today. We say, give us grace, Lord. Give us grace to be more generous givers. Give us grace to be more enthusiastic worshippers. And give us grace, even in this situation, to raise up leaders who will embrace the challenge of leadership.
Lederskabets udfordring.
In Jesus' mighty name.
I Jesu mægtige navn.
Amen.
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 God bless you. Thank you.
Gud velsigne jer. Tak skal I have.
It's yours.
Thank you, Peter. Ja, så tror jeg, vi har fået tilstrækkelige udfordringer til, at vi har noget at tænke over. I hvert fald mindst en uge tid her. Det kan jeg kun opfordre til, at vi sådan lige tænker tankerne igennem igen. Og se, der var nogle enkelte af jer, der tog noter. Sådan en dag som i dag var det nok ikke det dummeste at gøre, så havde man lidt. Ellers kan det få os på bånd bagefter. Så kan I sidde og høre det derhjemme i fred og ro. Jeg tror, vi skal overstå, nu har vi siddet ned så længe. Vi har kun lige stået her i 2 sekunder. Vi skal overstå og synge en rigtig julesang. Det er så selv anden søndag.